a myriad. I like that one. It's a myriad Monday. It's just a myriad of emotions during October. And I've got some great news for those of you who are baseball fans and long to see some series go the distance. Give me a little something, something, some series that might go the distance, both in the divisional round as well as the championship series. Now, I don't know about those, but I do know that it's the first time since 1995. Okay, that's a long time ago. It's the first time in nearly 30 years that all four of the division series, AL and NL, have opened 1-1. Bless you, Producer Pete, which means it's completely up for grabs. I'm here for the chaos in October. Let's go. You guys, you know how much I love Kevin Harlan. We need to get him on the show this season. We actually didn't have him on the show last season, which is a big miss on our part. He usually joins us at least once during the course of a football season. He had another one of those memorable calls that you just won't forget when you hear it. Just wait. I actually heard it organically myself because, as you know, if you listen to the show on a regular basis, a lot of times I end up listening to the Westwood One calls or listening to some of the local radio calls of games when I'm also trying to get ready to get out of the house. So getting my coffee, getting my snacks, can't leave without snacks, getting showered, getting changed, blah, blah, blah. And so instead of having to sit down in front of the TV and be late, I listen to a lot of the games on radio. Second half, usually. And so he had what I would say is another call you won't forget. Just wait. His call on Westwood One with Ross Tucker, actually, tonight. Not Kevin Harlan, not Kurt Warner. There goes the perfect show. Because Kurt was in London across the pond. He was doing the TV game on Sunday morning. So Kevin Harlan was working with Ross Tucker, and Ross's response to the label that Kevin Harlan gives a particular play. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, it's perfect for your manic Monday. You're busy. Myriad of storylines, myriad of emotions Monday. There were plenty of those emotions in Kansas City because not only were the Chiefs, two-time defending Super Bowl champions, attempting to start the season 5-0, but the Royals were taking on the big bad Yankees in the Bronx at the same time. The games were straddled a little bit in terms of start, but the Yankees-Royals first pitch actually got pushed back because Indians, I've done that multiple times in the last week, Guardians and Tigers took a little bit longer than expected, and so baseball pushed back the start of the second game. So it was about 7:45 New York time, 6:45 KC time when that second game of the ALDS began. And so then there was about 30 minutes or so until we got the start of the football game. Thankfully, no rain delay on Monday night, because one per week, or really one per season, is plenty. So for the Kansas City fans, especially for Patrick Mahomes, who is a part owner in multiple teams in Kansas City, not sure if you know that, but he was listening to the fans as they're reacting to what's happening in New York. Not only were they showing updates on the Jumbotron there at Arrowhead Stadium, but they were also chanting at various times, "Let's go Royals, let's go Royals." And so Mahomes, who owns part of the Kansas City Royals, said there was kind of a lull toward the end of the game, and he didn't see them showing the score on the Jumbotron, and so he was nervous because he assumed maybe the Yankees came back, which is why the Kansas City fans here at Arrowhead are not getting the updates. Now, it doesn't matter, of course, because fans in Arrowhead, without a doubt, are either watching updates on their phones, or they're just watching the broadcast on their phones, or maybe they're listening, because many of you listen to our show with an app on your phone. That's no doubt what many of the Royals fans were doing while they were there at Arrowhead. So then when the Royals finished off game two and doubled up the Yankees, there was a huge roar that went through Arrowhead. So that was kind of fun to hear as well, because I was actually listening then too, and Kevin Harlan noted it on Westwood One, but you could hear the fans react to what was happening in New York. So a lot of emotions for Patrick Mahomes and every other Royals fan, and certainly for Chiefs fans, because there's good news and there's bad news for the Kansas City Chiefs. As much as they are Super Bowl champions, they don't generally blow teams out, at least not this early in the season or really at all. They are still finding a rhythm, but part of that is the number of injuries they've had. We did get an update on Rashee Rice, who was their number one receiving option until he suffered a knee injury last week. Now, and he joins the ranks of Isaiah Pacheco and Hollywood Brown. Now it's more about Kareem Hunt, who they brought in, incorporating Juju Smith-Schuster, who they brought back, Travis Kelce getting a game-high number of catches. They really do want to run the ball. And it does help that Mahomes is a dual-threat quarterback. He may not look it, but if you... Actually, sometimes even when you do have a spy on him, he still ends up finding a way to pick up positive yardage on the ground. But there are just so many ways that Mahomes can hurt you, even with second options and third options, and even with the number of injuries, they may not be blowing teams out of the water, but they still find a way to win. And there is no way you can overlook the Chiefs' defense, because they continue to limit opponents. And as much as their run defense, so the run portion of that D, being able to stop the run with the front seven, as much as that has been a weakness or was a weakness last season, that is not the case anymore. What they're doing against teams and their top rushing options is fairly notable through the first 5 weeks. And that includes Alvin Kamara on Monday night. So we're going to get to all the highlights from Chiefs and Saints, which wraps up week five. Are you kidding me? Week number five in da books. And we're now firmly into October. At A-Law Radio, to find me online, our show account at Amy After Hours. If you haven't yet voted for your Monday MVP, that poll is still live for another hour, so you can go to our show account, again, at Amy After Hours, and find the poll pinned to the top of that account. It's also on Facebook, because this week I actually did it. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Now, still to come, we've got, of course, baseball, playoff baseball. Bring it. Let's go. We've also got your TD of the week options. And because there were so many huge defensive plays in week five, you should see the smile on my face. We are going to generate one of our favorite features, or I guess I'll speak for me. I can't speak for producer Pete. I don't know what his favorite features are yet. We actually haven't used all of our features yet. So do you have a favorite to this point, producer Pete?
No, not yet. I will.
He's reserving judgment. So we've got one of my favorite features, Defense Wins Championships, mostly because I think the music and the production's badass. So we'll get to that too. But in the meantime, love to hear from you. Our Facebook page is always open. It's a full service operation. We're like a 24-hour truck stop on the interstate. After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The New Orleans Saints have played some close games. So yeah, they started out attracting a lot of attention with a couple of flashy wins. The one against the Panthers, all right, maybe you didn't take that seriously. But against the Cowboys in Dallas, scoring 44 points, running roughshod over the Cowboys, well, that one turned some heads, raised some eyebrows, if you will. But then they lose in what is a, we'll call it a close game, maybe a painful game, an ugly game against the Philadelphia Eagles by a field goal. On the road at the Falcons in week four, they lose on a last-second field goal, remember, by Younghoe Koo? Was it a career long, I think, 58 yards, 59 yards? And so that's a two-point loss. And on that note, they head into Arrowhead, which is by far, and this is based on my time covering the league, but also based on my time at Arrowhead, I say it is one of the toughest places to play for a couple of reasons. And I know this time of the year, the weather doesn't apply, but the weather and the winds can be a pain in your rear end. The game that I was there on the sidelines in December, now this is going back a few years, but I was there for a game in December at Arrowhead Stadium. I was on the field sidelines for the first half. And by the end of the first half, I could not feel my feet. Like, that's how cold it was. And I was not appropriately dressed. So the Chiefs have a great home field advantage. They generally protect their home field. And it's actually notable when they do not protect their home field. The fans are raucous and rowdy. And of course, they dig the, right now, the NFL's best team. At the same time, the Chiefs offensively have not been anything to write home about, if you will. I guess that goes back to the days when people actually wrote letters to home when they were away. I used to do that. Big believer in writing long letters and sending cards. Still send birthday cards. And so the Chiefs' offense, according to Patrick Mahomes, he's not playing as well as he can. He's missing guys. He's throwing weird interceptions. Of course, they're a bit out of sync anyway because they've had different guys get hurt. But it's been a lot of field goals instead of touchdowns. It's been a lot of missed opportunities. Now, I can tell you through 5 weeks of the NFL season, that's a common theme for a lot of teams out there. For a lot of teams out there, because they're just not in rhythm yet. It's not all injuries, though that's a part of it. It's also offensive lines trying to find their cohesion and consistency. And as many people point out, it's the lack of a lot of time together during training camp and preseason when a lot of your veterans don't play. But at this point, we're starting to see some teams get a little more consistent, and the Chiefs were searching for that in this game to start out the second month of the regular season, which blows me away that we're into the second month of the regular season. Derek Carr gets picked off on the opening drive, throwing to no one, which puts the ball in the hands of the Chiefs. And yeah, familiar face, game number two for Kareem Hunt.
Chiefs have first down and goal to go at the 5 yard line of New Orleans. Digging in against this number one red zone defense, given off to Kareem Hunt, following his blockers, he's into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City, the middle again, blown wide open, and the Chiefs score on their first offensive drive of the game.
That's Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio. So yeah, always nice to be able to get into the end zone for the first time that you have the ball. And for Kareem Hunt, his first touchdown since returning to the Kansas City Chiefs.
It was a great feeling to get back in the end zone. I missed it very much. That's why I threw up a heart, you know, to show my love for, you know, Kansas City.
So, yeah, for him, this is a bit of a full circle moment. You may remember he was cut by the team in 2018 after the video surfaced of him punching and kicking a woman outside his residence in a Cleveland hotel. Was it Cleveland? Maybe it wasn't Cleveland, but I think it was an Ohio hotel. He was then cut because the Chiefs said that he did not give them the full story and didn't let them know that there could, in fact, be an investigation or the NFL may hand out punishment. So they chopped him. He then ended up going back to Cleveland and signing with the Browns. That's his hometown. But meanwhile, the Chiefs are winning Super Bowls without him. And he said, sure, he watched it and he wondered, what if? And so now he's back with the Chiefs, kind of this second tour of duty, but also an opportunity for redemption and to be part of something special with the 2024 Chiefs. What we saw from the Chiefs offense in the first half, Yeah, they score on the opening drive. They take advantage of the turnover by Derek Carr, but they also leave points out there on the field, settling for field goals again instead, which means that with Derek Carr and the ball in his hands in a close game, you're not out of it.
First down, been a big difference so far in this one. Carr back to throw on second down. Has time, looking deep, and he's got Rashid Shaheed. And Rashid Shaheed says, see you later, by touchdown for New Orleans.
43 yards for that touchdown, the first one of the game for the Saints, middle of the second quarter. And yeah, right away, it's back to a 10-7 affair and just a field goal separation because the Chiefs weren't doing enough with their possessions. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence. So in the third quarter, one of the moments that will definitely come back for defense wins championships, because it's that terrific. And, of course, the video's out there. In fact, producer Pete, if you want to share it from either the Saints or from the NFL account. After the Chiefs had this slow start to begin the third quarter, they miss a field goal, so not something we see a lot from Harrison Butker. But after nearly a five-minute possession to begin the third quarter, he misses from 51 yards. It actually hits the right upright, so one of my favorite sounds in sports. Doink! Then on their second possession, Patrick Mahomes is driving the Chiefs into the red zone. They're sitting on the 2-yard line.
Mahomes in the gun, the two in New Orleans. P. Ryan in motion. There's the shotgun snap, the fake handoff, the quick throw at the goal line. It's deflected and it's intercepted on the play by Saunders. He runs the big man, the 10, near sideline 20, on the near sideline 30. Got a block and from behind, the former Chief is taken down. The Saints big man got it on the ricochet at the goal line on a pass intended for Smith-Schuster. That was a thick pick.
It was a thick pick. It bounced off of Schuster's hand, and Saunders one-handed it with the left hand, and the former running back looked good getting the ball all the way out near midfield. Of all of the plays that could have happened,
we were just talking about him. His brother dances. He runs. They are a talented family.
There's so much more to that, but I love the exchange. First of all, I love the cackling from Ross Tucker. He just joined us last week. He's always good for cackling. And the way that Kevin Harlan describes it, the thick pick, he labels it the thick pick. Is that not a classic Harlan moment? Oh, yeah, it's going to stick with you. We're going to have to bring it back. And maybe when he does join us on the show, we can replay it for him. So, yes, this is a 324-pound. 324 pounds. So I guess that's where he's earned the name thick, right?
Thick pick. That was a thick pick.
324-pound former Chiefs defensive lineman who picks off Patrick Mahomes for his first career interception. And as guys are trying to bring him down, including Xavier Worthy, who just has no impact on him whatsoever, he's able to rumble halfway up the field before they catch up to him. It was a tremendous moment. And then it's a short field for Carr and the Saints.
Under center is Carr. Deep back is Kamara. Snap, play action, looks, now he needs to get rid of it, throwing it for Foster Moreau, and that's a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. Doucette, the tight end's got to show up. The tight end did. Foster Moreau with the touchdown. Perfect pass from Carr.
On the Saints Radio Network, that's early fourth quarter. They pull within three, not two, because they end up missing the extra point. So, Chiefs get the ball back. No more of this thick pick and big man interceptions.
Thick pick! That was a thick pick!
They got to go to work. And, yeah, they are able to use all of their weapons. But one of the ones that is can't miss TV these days is rookie Xavier Worthy.
Kelsey's in a wildcat position. They're going to give it off to Worthy on the right side. Worthy sneaks into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City, on an RPO handoff from Travis Kelce and lowering that shoulder and ducking under the defender.
Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio. So that ends up being the, we'll say, the touchdown that puts it out of reach for the Saints. The Saints are then turned over on downs with a couple minutes to go. The Chiefs defense holds again. And whatever you may think of this Kansas City defense, they seem to come up in big moments. And a lot of it has to do with the experience, the veterans that are there. They've got some real tough individual pieces. Of course, Christian Jones, he's worth every penny they paid him. Nick Bolton makes huge tackles, too. So the Chiefs double up the Saints 26-13. And in doing so, we see different guys, maybe backup guys, or guys they weren't expecting to play major roles, become significant pieces of the offense and targets for Patrick Mahomes. And that includes Juju Smith-Schuster. You'll hear from him coming up. A massive game, 7 catches, 130 yards. On that final touchdown drive, he actually takes a ball and goes 50 yards through traffic to set up the Xavier Worthy touchdown. Good stuff. Love to watch Monday Night Football. Didn't get a chance to tune into the Mannings, though I did hear that they had older brother Cooper, who was the father of Arch. They had older brother Cooper on the show today, I think. I didn't have a chance to tune in. Just there's too much baseball, too many football things going on, injury updates. Coming up at the top of next hour, we're really excited to have our friend Mary Kay Cabot, who's a longtime Browns insider from Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. We're going to talk about this Browns offense, which right now is last in the NFL in total yardage. A lot of calls for Deshaun Watson to lose his job, but Kevin Stefanski is towing the line with his quarterback. You'll hear from him. You'll also hear from Mary Kay, and we'll ask her, what the temp is in the Browns facility since she was there today. 855-212-4227. Vote for Monday MVP. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Monday nearly in the rearview mirror. Week 5 is now in the rearview mirror. We've got a lot more playoff baseball to come, though. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network.
Chiefs showing blitz, is selling out, coming after Carr. He throws it up for grabs, left side. The pass will be incomplete at the 10-yard line. Mason Tipton trying to get it over his shoulder. Chamari Connor was with him in coverage. Pressure, coverage, holding on downs. The Chiefs lead by 10 and have it back at their own 42.
At the end of the day, our defense is playing their tail off, and I think people are starting to come to realize that even more. And so even when we're getting these field goals, they're keeping us in these games. Obviously, offensively, we had a better day today, a lot of yards. Now it's about finding ways to finish with touchdowns in the red zone so we can make these lead bigger, faster, and then we can really let Spags be Spags.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Spags, of course, is the common nickname for Steve Spagnuolo, who is the defensive coordinator of Kansas City and gets a ton of credit for reviving this defense, turning it into a championship defense going back before last season. For years, it was about Mahomes and the offense protecting the defense. Now, it's something completely opposite. And Pat is always acknowledging the defense because of what they do. And he mentions the red zone. They go 2-for-7 in the red zone. Lots of points left out there. Now, there's good news. You got into the red zone 7 times, and you have a terrific kicker. But 2-for-7 is not going to win you games against the best of the best in the NFL. You look at the other numbers from this box score. They double up the Saints in terms of total yardage, in terms of first downs, in terms of trips to the red zone. It's no contest. The Saints are only there 1 time. They have the same number of turnovers. They double up the Saints in time of possession. So they should have blown out New Orleans, but because they settle for field goals often, still something they're working on. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're dealing with backup players like Juju Smith-Schuster. But I mentioned, he goes for 130 yards in this game, including a 50-yard catch and run that set up a touchdown.
Man, it's unbelievable. There's no place like it in the world. This atmosphere, everybody just wanting to play for each other, just wanting to win. You know, when you win as a team, you know, everybody wins in the long run. So you know, shout out to the guys making it happen.
But he has a good feel for the entire concept of the play, and so he knows how to get into the open spots. He has a good understanding of my timing, and so some of those things, I can hit him early, and some windows maybe that aren't necessarily taught. It's kind of just learned over reps. But I think he did a good job today of just doing that, finding those windows, beating man when they played man, and then zone, finding the windows to get big catches.
How much it matters that they can bring back a guy that they have history with, that Mahomes has history with, and you hear him mention that they've got a familiarity with one another, and Juju already knows how it is that he will throw the ball and what he's looking for and what he wants you to do when plays break down. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Chiefs are the first defending Super Bowl champion to start 5-0 since the Patriots in 2019, which was 5 years ago. Not a long stretch. But for the Chiefs, considering they're not playing their best football, I would say it's impressive. Not to mention, you're talking about what has been a chaotic start to the season in the first 5 weeks were some crazy upsets. I've seen these numbers, and I can't regurgitate them all. We'd have to go and look at our Survivor Islands to make sure that they're in the same boat, but that people and survivor pools have been vacated at such an alarming rate with alacrity to start the season because the number of upsets, and I guess that goes by odds in Vegas, but the number of technical upsets to start the season has been astounding, but not the Chiefs. So when you're 5-0 and you're using backup players, well, you'll take that. Winning despite injuries is not your favorite place to be, but it's better than falling off a map.
They don't flinch on all that stuff. They just, the next guy up and he goes. And so I'm proud of them for that. There's an attitude in the locker room that those guys, it has to start with that group there. And they just know that they trust the next guy is going to come in and do a good job. So it's more of a positive thinking than a negative thinking where you try to find all the warts. They're not doing that with these guys.
And that starts with Kareem Hunt, who stepped in. It starts with Juju Smith-Schuster, who stepped in. But it also means that Travis Kelce is getting more work now, right? So Kelce, first couple of games, not getting a whole lot of passes thrown his way. Questions about why he wasn't more involved in the offense. But he has a team high, I think it was 9 catches for him on Monday night in this Chiefs win. And there was this moment, too, that maybe you saw. It's one that happened organically. It wasn't planned this way, in case you're wondering whether or not these things are practice. And there's probably plenty of this that goes on when they're getting creative on offense and they want guys to think on the fly to be sure. Yes, Travis Kelce had 9 catches for 70 yards. One of his catches turns into a lateral to Samaje Perine after a 2nd and 34. So with a couple of penalties in the second quarter, Chiefs find themselves backed up on a 2nd and 34. And Kelce takes this pass and shovels it to Perine. Now remember, was it last year? Last year there was a touchdown that was called back after a Kelce lateral. He said it was the greatest play he's ever made in a football game, and he was so frustrated and upset that it got called back on a flag. So here he is trying this. Here he is trying. Oh, you have the play-by-play?
Again, a 4-man rush. Quick pass. Nice. Kelce at the 40. Coming all the way across the field. Flips it off. It goes to Perine. He's at the 25. He is close to a first down. Kelce, who messes around in practice doing this a lot. He thought he had a touchdown last year. Remember, on a play, he's got 21 yards. The Chiefs have 4th down and 1.
See, I was saying the same thing because our crack newsroom just put the audio into the folder. Thank you, crack newsroom. Mitch Holtis on Chiefs Radio. So Kelce takes the short pass. He shovels it to Perine, and Perine gets within a yard of the first down marker. Then they're able to pick it up and that was a 4th down, able to get another field goal before the end of the half. But apparently that's not at all what was supposed to happen.
I'm shaking my head because I told him before the play, I said, I'm going to throw it to you so we can get in field goal range. And he underhand shoveled it across the entire field. So, I mean, it's like I'm talking to, like, Sterling. So, that's Travis, man. He's a special player. And as long as he does it and it works, man, no one's going to say anything.
I love that. Sterling is his daughter, by the way. She's a toddler. He actually ran up to the Monday Night Football cameras. Lisa Salters was standing there on the sidelines with a cameraman. And he says, I told Sterling I would say hello to her. Hi, Sterling. Now go to bed. So there's some good video out there with Patrick Mahomes. And he's funny all the time. But certainly when the Chiefs start out 5-0, you can make more jokes feeling like, yeah, you have got a lot more that you can give. There's a lot of ways that you can improve on offense. They were much more efficient tonight other than the ball that was intercepted at the goal line. That actually should have been caught by Juju. It was off his hands, so the ball hit him in the hands. But he redeemed himself, as did the others. Travis Kelce, he's getting all creative. Maybe he fancies himself a quarterback. He was in the Wildcat tonight as well, handing off to Xavier Worthy. Chiefs move to 5-0, the only team in the AFC with an unblemished record, and they join the Minnesota Vikings also at 5-0. Those are your two teams that are still unbeaten. All right, coming up, we're going to pivot to baseball, and then top of the hour, what's wrong with the Cleveland Browns, and is there hope to fix it? I mean, it's one thing to be able to diagnose the problems. Can they fix it in time to salvage the season? I know a lot of frustrated Browns fans that I heard from on Sunday at A-Law Radio on our Facebook page, too. As always, hope you survived your Monday. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amel, a bit of a grind, but the Chiefs able to put things away in the fourth.
Kelce's in a Wildcat position. They're going to give it off to Worthy on the right side. Worthy sneaks into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City, on an RPO handoff from Travis Kelce.
Xavier Worthy giving the Chiefs the breathing room they needed as they down the Saints 26-13. Call courtesy of the Chiefs Radio Network. Patrick Mahomes threw for 331, finding Juju Smith-Schuster seven times for 130 yards. Kareem Hunt added a buck two on the ground and a score as the Chiefs remain perfect, 5-0. Saints dropped to 2-3, and now they're concerned about Derek Carr. He left with an oblique injury, MRI to come. Elsewhere, Patriots safety Jabril Peppers pleaded not guilty after he was arrested for assault and battery, strangulation, and drug possession believed to be cocaine. Raiders still unclear who their starting quarterback will be as Gardner Minshew replaced late again by Aiden O'Connell in the lopsided loss to the Broncos. Meanwhile, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur looking to put to bed his one-game suspension for wideout Romeo Doubs after the two sat down for a meeting.
I'm not going to get into the specifics of it, but I think it was productive, and we look forward to getting him back on Wednesday.
Baseball, Kerry Carpenter, a three-run shot off Emmanuel Clase in the ninth as the Tigers sounds the Guardians 3-0.
In those moments, he can change the scoreboard. He can change the game. He can, he does it time after time, but you got to have guys do something in front of him in order to give him that opportunity. And, you know, we got 3-2 out hits against the best closer in baseball.
Tigers manager A.J. Hinch has got seven scoreless innings, a three-hit ball from Tarek Skubal, 8 Ks. Tigers and Guardians all even at a game apiece. Meanwhile, the Royals looking to even up their series with the Yankees.
One ball, two strikes against him. Here's the pitch. Bam lines it into right center field. That splits the gap of base hit. Gurriel rounds third. He comes in to score standing. Tommy Pham delivers. He gives the Royals the lead in the top of the fourth with an opposite field RBI single.
A lead they never relinquish as the Royals double the Yankees 4-2. Call courtesy of the Royals Radio Network. Salvador Perez went deep. Michael Garcia 4 hits in an RBI. And Chase Carlos Rodon after 3 2/3 gave up 4 runs on 7 hits as the series is tied at 1. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
Here's the pitch. Salvi drills it. High in the air. Deep left field. No doubt about it. It's a home run. A game-tying blast from the Royals captain.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The other Kansas City team still playing in October, attempting to avoid an 0-2 deficit against the Yankees in New York in the American League Division Series. And this was, at least initially, a pitcher's duel, though I wouldn't say one of those lockdown pitcher's duels where there's no movement. scattered hit. So Carlos Rodon, he and Cole Reagans managed to keep this one scoreless for a few innings, but each of them kind of ending up dealing with traffic on the base paths. The Yankees score first when Giancarlo Stanton reached on an infield single to shortstop, which scored a run. But then the Royals able to answer with the Salvador Perez home run that went over 400 feet in the top of the fourth. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The call's there on the Royals radio network. Well, as it turns out, this was Perez setting a tone and potentially showing the way to the rest of his teammates.
One ball, two strikes against him. Here's the pitch. Bam lines it into right center field. That splits the gap of base hit. Gurriel rounds third. He comes in to score standing. Tommy Pham delivers. He gives the Royals the lead in the top of the fourth with an opposite field RBI single. The pitch. Line through the left side. A base hit into left field. Pham sprints around third. Verdugo's throw to the plate. Offline, not in time. Pham scores standing. Garrett Hampson takes the extra base. He drives in another run in this postseason. First pitch to Michael Garcia. Fastball sliced through the right side. Base hit into right field. Hampson rounds third. Soto's throw to the plate. Cut off. Hampson safe. Garcia's caught up between first and second. Now he's in a pickle. Throw back to first. Torres runs him back. Throw to Volpe chasing down Garcia. He slaps on the tag to end the inning. But the Royals get another run on another two-out RBI single.
With a pitching change there in the middle, the Royals muster four runs on five hits, and they're able to take the lead there 4-1 following that fourth inning. Once again, on the Royals radio network, I like the fact that the hitting is contagious, but you talk to Matt Quatraro, and he knows what that leadership of Salvi is all about.
It's enormous. You cannot put a number on what he does out there for us in every aspect, whether that's, you know, in the clubhouse, on the field, you know, clearly as a player. But yeah, he's got a great feel for the game. He understands the moment. He understands when he needs to say something, when he doesn't need to say something.
So that run there in the fourth inning, by the middle of the order, the heart of the order, was huge. But I got to tell you, if someone showed me the line for Bobby Witt Jr. in this particular game, 0-for-5 with three strikeouts, I would have thought potentially the Royals would be in an 0-2 hole. But they really did get contributions from, I don't want to say unlikely sources because they're all big lead players, but Michael Garcia, he was able to lead off with great success, 4-for-5 for him, but he did not cross the plate at all. So he does drive in a run, but he gets stranded most of the time. I mean, neither team was able to capitalize on their early opportunities, but for the Royals, they finished it going 3-for-11 with runners in scoring position. Yankees don't have quite as many opportunities against Cole Reagans and the KC relievers. They go 1-for-6. And as for Reagans, he just goes through the four innings. Neither one of these guys got into the fifth, but he goes four innings, gives up just one run, though he walked four Yankees and also allowed three hits. So it was shaky. It was one of those starts where it could have gone horribly wrong.
Control was a little erratic. Felt like I made pitches when I, you know, had to make a pitch. The bullpen, I mean, they're doing what they've been doing for the past 2 months. They're incredible. Just shut it down. You know, like I said, they're incredible.
As you can imagine, both the Royals and the Tigers are thrilled to be able to go home now. So we've got three Central Division teams that are still alive, including the Yankees. And so you've got Royals, Tigers, and Guardians all alive. It's a huge deal for this division. And New York being the outlier now, but had the bye through that first week. So the Royals, they're fighting upstream. I mean, this is a Yankees team that has had great success in its recent history against the AL Central Division. But to be able to even the series and now take it to Kansas City, where no doubt, and I don't know what Patrick Mahomes' schedule is for the rest of the week. I know he's got work and all, but I can imagine he's going to want to be there since he's a part owner of the team. Reagans and the rest of those Royals recognize this is a huge opportunity for them as they head back to Kauffman.
you know, looking forward to getting back to the K, seeing the fans there. You know, it's gonna be fun to have playoff baseball back in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, a split here is huge. You know, it's basically like a brand new series when we get to the K. So yeah, looking forward to it.
American League is off until Wednesday, so kind of a weird thing where they play Saturday, then they play Monday, then they play Wednesday. Normally don't have the day off in between, but I am confident it's because Major League Baseball did not want to schedule four games on an NFL Sunday. That's not generally what they're after. So coming up next hour, we'll get to the Tigers and the Guardians and the moment for Cary Carpenter. I don't know that... that smile is coming off his face until they get to game three, and maybe not even then, because they'll also be back in Detroit and have the chance to host a playoff game for the first time in a decade. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As for the Yankees, yeah, they didn't have, I don't want to say luck is not really the word I would use. They didn't have success in driving their runners home, getting them across the plate. Aaron Judge, he's 1-for-7 now in the series, though he did have a hit in this one.
Yeah, some guys were hitting the ball hard. You know, AV hit some good balls to right field. John Birdie lined out a couple times. You know, Big G did what he did, always hitting the ball hard. So a couple of those fall through, a couple of those fall in. It's a different ball game, but you know, it didn't happen. We got to show up in Kansas City.
We scored 6 runs last night. Tonight, 2. Had more opportunities that to really make it a really big offensive night. Weren't able to do that. Part of that is, you know, we're going up against one of the better pitchers in the league tonight. We made it tough on him, gave ourselves a chance, but couldn't break through with their bullpen.
The Aarons, not Rodgers. But now there are 3 significant Aarons that play sports or manage sports in the New York area. So you got to be careful when you qualify. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. All right, so kind of cool. Love to hear from the sports fans in Cleveland, or even more than that, how about Detroit? Because the Browns, they do right now have a 1-4 record, and you're trying to figure out what to do. We're going to talk about that at the top of the hour with Mary Kay Cabot. But the Guardians do have a split, and they're able to get the first game, at least, against the Tigers. But the Tigers and the Lions, I do love big cats, the Tigers and Lions right now are both in a really good position in October. And in addition to that, you've got these Royals and the Chiefs. Right, so I love the fact that we've got fan bases that haven't experienced this kind of joy in a long time. And really for Detroit to have both the Tigers and the Lions in a good spot, that's humongous. They've been suffering as a fan base for quite a long time. As for Cleveland, yes, there is this Guardians run and they split. And so they're very much in it. They won the division going away in the AL Central. But the Browns are in a significantly different spot right now than what I think a lot of people expected. And on Sunday, watching their offense, which is dead last in the NFL when it comes to total yards, and I was watching just the ineptitude of Deshaun Watson and his weapons behind that offensive line, I tweeted a whopping $230 million fully guaranteed, and the responses I got back from frustrated Browns fans, whew, we'll talk about it with Mary Kay straight ahead. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.